Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
T1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Jacob Reimer. The Ohio State football team will take on Miami in the Cotton Bowl after the Hurricanes beat Texas A&M 10-3 on Saturday. Head coach Ryan Day spoke today on what he sees in Miami.
It's a really talented team. I mean, really talented. They got players all over the field. And so I think our guys knew that. I think they knew that both teams playing were good teams. But once you get done with the game, you finally know what you're playing so that you may kind of get, you know, focused.
Kickoff on New Year's Eve is at 7:30. The rest of the college football playoff this weekend, Oregon, Alabama, and Ole Miss were the other three teams who advanced to the quarterfinals that will be played on New Year's Day. Ohio State basketball, they fell to number 12 North Carolina on Saturday in the CBS Sports Classic 71-70. The Buckeyes return home looking to bounce back tomorrow as they host Grambling State. Tip-off from the Shot is at 2 o'clock, and coverage can be found right here on The Fan starting at 1 o'clock. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice in the house today. He's back on the board doing his thing per usual is TLC. And to my right, ladies and gentlemen, filling in for our guy AR is Tim May. Tim May, welcome back in, sir.
Can anybody really fill in for Rothman?
I don't know. You can't ever fill
those shoes. I'm just going to throw haymakers and see what happens.
You can't really fill those shoes. Happy holidays to everybody listening. Tim May, how was your weekend? How you doing?
It was great because I watched football almost the whole time when I wasn't either doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. Okay. Sort of like what do you call it, blitzkrieg kind of shopping, which is what I prefer. I don't want to be on the internet if I don't have to, but you know what? It's getting easier and easier to just order online.
Yeah, you're not a guy that strikes me.
I don't like that. I like going to the stores.
Oh, you do like going to the stores.
I love going to stores. Okay. That's what gets me going for Christmas. And but yeah, I'm all set. Everything's been bought.
Good, man. Good to go. TLC, what's going on, man? How was your weekend? We haven't seen you since Thursday last week. What's
been
going on?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, I know. It wasn't the full Arizona week like I was out. But yeah, I just took Friday off. So I guess I'm here the rest of the year. And then the PTO resets.
No doubt, man.
So I'll have to.
PTO resets.
The PTO resets.
Y'all have more PTO than
we got
the
a lot.
PTA.
Well, it's based on how long you've been here. So the people who have been here, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's 15 for everyone who starts, and then you start adding some days. So, like, you know, AR may be at, like, 25 days at this point. Who knows?
It doesn't carry over either, right?
No, it does not. So you got
to
use it.
Used to.
So AR is using it.
We used to carry over 5 days. You were allowed to carry over five.
Really? But you have to dispatch, man. You had to use it or lose it. And I was really bad for only taking, like, 2.5 weeks vacation instead of the four. And I felt like I was working hard and, you know, who cares? But regret it now. That's for damn sure, man.
That's for sure. Hey, our lineup for today, Ian Fitzsimmons covers college football, a whole bunch of other good things for ESPN. He will join us at the bottom of this hour. I believe he was at Miami and Texas A&M. So that'll be a great feel of that game, everything else that happened this weekend. And then Adam King from 10TV will join us at 2:30. As always, just a reminder, you miss anything from our show, you can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3 will be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Bet365 is the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. So we got a bit of a funky week going on here. So today we'll be on for 2 hours. Tomorrow it will be only a 1 hour show going into Buckeye basketball because they have a little afternoon tip at 2 o'clock tomorrow, Tim May.
So matinee.
We'll be on for 1 hour tomorrow and then TLC. Let the folks know what we have coming up on Christmas Eve and Christmas right here on The Fan.
So we got a best of show. We are going to have a full best of on Christmas Eve. That will be Wednesday. And then we'll have a 30-minute best of on Christmas Day. I assume that's because we have Christmas Day NFL games, and I assume that we're going to air them. And so that's why we have just a 12 to 12:30, but we got some fun stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the just the fun that we've had throughout the year. We pre-recorded some stuff, and so some of it's going to be fresh, never before heard. We did a drop draft where you, me, and AR all picked our favorite drops. So we'll have some fun. We get to reminisce about some of the memories. Like I included like Colin's last segment on the show and my first segment on the show when we transitioned producers way back in, you know, March and April. And so just a... hilarity ensues, of course.
No doubt. That's from when? 12 to 12:30?
That will be on Thursday.
Thursday is 12 to 12:30, yes. But we get the that's full 3-hour best of on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. I was going to say, that's a lot to cram into 30 minutes.
No doubt. No doubt. Tim May, you mentioned you watched a lot of football, so it was a good weekend. I want to give you the floor. College football playoff reaction coming in on a Monday. What's really stuck with you after watching those first few games of the CFP this year?
Kind of what stuck with me last year, except now it's I think it's on everybody's mind that you need the 12 best teams in the college football playoff. I don't, no matter what, you know, this isn't youth soccer. And I just take that shot because that's a great cliche. But the bottom line is you need the 12 best teams in it. Number two, but the blowouts were the same as last year in terms of there were blowouts. The best game of the week. The best game of the opening round was definitely Miami Texas A&M because Mother Nature stepped in with a nice brisk wind out of the south southwest down there at College Station, and it showed. I mean, it was what, one touchdown in a college football playoff game? That's crazy. But it just showed you this, man. It reminds me of IndyCar races I've covered in the past where they said because they've redone the track or whatever, there's not going to be any passing. And the thing about it is when you put a prize up for grabs, guys will do a lot of things to make a pass to win that prize, you know. And we saw that with Miami, man. Mark Fletcher, I mean, goodness gracious. And then Malachi Toney, that lightning bolt
tremendous
at the
freshman.
End of the game, a tremendous guy. Yeah. You know, I was asking Ryan Day about, you know, his team getting to see them, get to watch them. You kind of know what's coming now. You know, don't claim your surprise, you know, when they show up and they've got players. You know, he'll be the first one to tell you, no, nobody's surprised. They've got players. They've got NFL future players across the board, all the way around the field, offensively and defensively. But then, you know, Ole Miss, Tulane, wow. And James Madison, Oregon. There's a reason they put those on TNT, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people couldn't find them, but you know.
Felt like it was over before it started. No doubt. You didn't miss much at all, especially in that Ole Miss game. Just the offense for them right out of the gate just punched them right in the mouth, and they can never really recover. And then on the other side, you mentioned Dante Moore and that crew, and they're just the big plays downfield, the secondary just could not cover the playmakers for Oregon. And so we kind of had a feel that's where this was going to go, and you're right. That's been rough to watch the last couple of years. Are these teams that we know are lesser than getting into the most important tournament of the year, if you will, and getting absolutely curb stomped early and often. But now we can move on just a little bit, and the matchup should be a little tighter.
I left out the biggest development.
Though. Yep.
Along about early, midway through the second quarter, Alabama became a different team. I mean, they curb stomped Oklahoma from about the middle of the second quarter on in that game.
You crediting 50 Cent for that and his performance? Does that do it?
No, because he came on at halftime, didn't he? Didn't he walk out at halftime? You know, I saw the screen. I had the sound down because I was doing something else. I went, what's he doing there?
Yeah.
That was my exact, you know. But anyway, Alabama became a different football team, brother. I mean, who knows if it'll carry over. I mean, but that Alabama-Indiana game, that's going to be very interesting.
Should be a good one.
Just like
Ohio
State and Miami. I mean, all these games are going to be good now. I mean, in my opinion. Doesn't mean it won't be one-sided, but Alabama, under Kalen DeBoer, just basically said, well, whatever's happening, this guy's not going to go to Michigan, that's for sure.
You know what's unbelievable, too, is in that game, just Alabama, the drops. Like, it's just, especially Ryan Williams, and we talked to Colin Gale.
He got his act together as the game went on.
He did, but it's just crazy how a guy that was so talented, and still is talented with the skill set that he has, cannot get that out of his system, just those drops. But you're right. I mean, Alabama crawling out of that 17-point hole the way that they did, that's a really good look for Kalen DeBoer to keep his guys in line and keep those guys sharper and ready to go. So that's obviously a big-time win for them. And then, look, the Miami game, Mother Nature, as you mentioned, played a major factor in that one. We had, what, three or four missed field goals in this one between the two teams, and the passing attack wasn't going to be there. Kind of reminded me a little bit of, you remember the game for Ohio State years ago at Northwestern?
Yep.
Maybe 5-6 years ago, and they went up there, and it got tight because it was so windy, and that's just what you get in this sport. Now, for Ohio State, though, they're not going to have to worry about that. Neither will Miami and the venue that they're going to have to play in now down there in Dallas, and then Arizona will be after that. But the Fletcher run was the home run, right? That was the kind of the knockout punch there, and they gave the ball to him a few more times.
Well, let's put it this way. It stood him up. The knockout punch was Melikatoni around the end.
That was it. But they
and then, of course, the interception by the freshman, his second interception of the game, the Fitzgerald kid. Wow, because A&M was right there, man, knocking on the door.
They were. They were. They absolutely will. I mean, Miami in the game had 278 total yards. 172 of those came on the ground. So they stuck with what they knew would work in time.
Yeah.
Look, and I know some people don't like watching games like that. Low scoring, especially in the playoffs. You want to see maybe not a whole bunch of points, but you want to see more than 10-3.
It was
ugly. Enjoyed the game because there was just some weird stuff going on that made it entertaining.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Ohio State, Indiana. I mean, that was an ugly game. I mean, that was like, there were two touchdowns scored in that game. And and the bottom line is, like Ryan Day said, you know, a long time ago, and he's exactly right, man. The W is what matters. That's all that matters. And any way you find it. But the interesting things were Alabama and Miami won on the road in ridiculous atmospheres. I mean, Oklahoma was ripping that night. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Field, man, I've been there for a game in 2019 when Alabama played at Texas A&M. Back the first time I retired, and I had an off week, so I went down there and with a buddy of mine, and that place rocks. But you know what? The 12th man can only do so much. You've got to get it done on the football field.
No doubt, and they got it done, that being Miami. So the look-ahead line right now for Ohio State and Miami, Vegas has Ohio State favored by 9.5.
Yeah.
9.5. And I have to imagine Cristobal and that crew want to slow the game down as much as possible, right? And that's always easier said than done. But with the way Fletcher can run that thing right there and how they can be physical up front with their defensive line. But offensively, I won't be surprised if they try to play that card a little bit, teammate Tim May, and lean the game that way and squeeze the possessions and steal some possessions away from Ohio State in their offense, which we know in a dome can be high flying.
I just came from a press conference where we got to talk to Julian Say and Jeremiah Smith and Carson Hensman and Max Clare. But Jeremiah Smith is close to 100% as he's been since before he injured his quad. I think it was the week of the UCLA game. Ended up playing, probably shouldn't have, but he wanted to play so much. But I'm telling you something, Ohio State's going to put the two best wide receivers in the country on the field at the same time, and we've all seen the problems that gives people.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of ways to look at this game, but the fact that Ohio State's going to be pretty close to 100% healthy is huge.
First matchup for these programs since 2011. Miami won that one 24-6. Coming up next, we're going to move Party Like a Rockstar over to today. So don't move. That's coming up right after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Are you fired up? Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other, leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org. a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, Teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Morning Juice, real football talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A nice mix of sun and clouds for us today and seasonable with temperatures in the low 40s. As we go into tonight, chances of rain overnight, otherwise cloudy with lows in the 30s. And then for Tuesday, cloudy skies across the day and warmer with breezy winds and temperatures in the mid to low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All right, welcome back in. Happy Monday to you. Tim May in the house today for ARTLC, back in the house on the board. I'm going to lead this thing off, fellas. My first candidate for this week's Party Like a Rock Star, I'm going down to Duval County. I'm going down to Duval County because the Jacksonville Jaguars are cooking with hot grease right now. Winners of six in a row now after they go into Denver's house and beat them by a final score of 34-20. Trevor Lawrence, he's looking really, really good right now. 23 of 36, 279. Three touchdowns through the air, another one on the ground, racked up 20 yards on the ground as well. And you look at how he is really piecing this thing together at the right time. Over his last two games, he's got eight interceptions through the air, two on the ground, has not thrown an interception in over a month. So here come the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tim May. They lost Travis Hunter. You really didn't know where the offense was going to go. They acquire Jacoby Myers from the Raiders, signed him to an extension. That's looking like a really good fit for the Jags. You go into Denver against that defense, specifically that secondary with Pat Surtain, Defensive Player of the Year in that unit, and you put up that amount of points, that's really, really getting busy. So Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars, winners of six in a row, coming down the stretch really, really hot. So they're my first candidate this week for Party Like a Roster. They're playing some good ball.
Yeah, but I mean, the guys you've got coming in, they're letting in through the ropes into the party. I mean, yeah, that's enhancing them. I would love to be in New England today at a Mike Vrabel press conference. Mike, did it finally come around for you now that you've got a quarterback named May that you can count on? Drake May.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, dude, we were talking about this before the show started, but the NFL right now, the teams that are in and the teams that aren't going to get in, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. But Drake May and the New England Patriots clinched a playoff berth. Mike Vrabel has got it going on where he used to be the linchpin for the New England Patriots in all kinds of ways as a player. Clearly, whatever he learned at Tennessee has paid off for him handsomely. And so definitely Drake May and Mike Vrabel together, that's a pretty good combination. So they're partying.
That's what you want, right? You're building a franchise. You want to nail the head coach, nail the quarterback. Great building blocks to have.
I wonder how many more people are running to get on the bandwagon. Is it more people back on the bandwagon? Is it more people in New England today, or is it in Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
Ooh.
Who's running? Question. Who's running
Ooh, I
more,
like this.
More rapidly?
I think probably New England fans right now.
Really? I think it's a push.
You think it's Bama? Okay. You think it's a push. You think it's a push.
Yeah, because
Bama fans have that expectation of winning it all.
So right.
While they appreciate what happened this week, and I still think a pocket of that fan base is we want a little bit more before we really love this guy.
So anyway, Kalen DeBoer is my second guy. I'll just jump in with my second one.
Yeah.
Alabama, I mean, clearly they're partying now because a lot of people down there, you got the idea. They were saying, hey, go on, go to Michigan. Who cares? I don't necessarily agree with that. I got a baby brother who's been an Alabama fan as long as he's been alive. I was too, but I grew out of it. The bottom line is, Alabama, man, when you revive a fandom like that win at Oklahoma did the other night, when in fact they thought their offense had already retired for the year in that pathetic SEC championship game, to come on like they did in that game, like you were talking about Ryan Williams, et cetera, They're partying like rock stars right now.
There it is. TLC, get in on this. Who you got this week on Party Like a Rock Star?
All right, so on Friday night, I was out with friends. We had sort of like a double birthday party slash Christmas party for the holidays that we have every single year. And so we're hanging out. We're having a great time. We got Alabama, Oklahoma up on the screen. So we're kind of like, you know, multitasking here a little bit. We got Christmas party. We got birthday party. We got college football playoffs kicking off. We got a whole lot going on. And then at the end of the night, I was delivered the best piece of news I could have heard in that moment. Anthony Joshua knocked out Jake Paul.
Ah, you got to be kidding me.
And I watched that video, and he goes clean through his jaw.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua, who made Jake Paul look fat as hell. We finally can give up the act. Anthony Joshua's the first, like, really, really real fighter
legit.
He's gone up
he's
against.
Legit, yeah.
I did not watch it, which I'm glad I didn't, because apparently people were saying that, like, Anthony Joshua took forever to start trying.
Yeah.
So that's great, but I got what I needed. I got the 15-second clip of him breaking his jaw.
Fix.
And we can be done with all this.
That thing got to what? Six rounds? Five rounds? How long did that thing go?
That had to be a fix, because it should have been over in about 45 seconds.
Completely agree. Completely
45
agree.
Seconds means you've been knocked down and you get up and you get a standing eight count.
Yep.
And then you finally get knocked out big time. That was, I didn't watch any of it. Didn't have to. I knew, we talked about it Friday, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I just definitely wouldn't buy into something like that. That is for damn sure.
No doubt about it. Second candidate
for me. They made a lot of money, though, brother.
Oh, my gosh. It had to be tens of millions of dollars. It usually is those type of fights, right?
Buster Douglas got what? I forgot what he got for going to Tokyo. $1.3 million, $1.5 million. Then he got basically a $19, $20 million payday thanks to his manager, John Johnson, pushing the buttons there against Holyfield. Yeah, what a waste of money and what a waste of time that was. I'm sure for the folks who watched Jake Paul and
Anthony Joshua.
Guy knew what he was doing and a guy that is in it for the laughs and giggles.
And the check.
There's nothing funny about being in your underwear with just gloves on, et cetera, and the other guy is much, much better than you are.
Yeah, uncomfortable, that's for sure. Second candidate for me. I don't know if we're talking enough about what the Chargers are doing right now, fellas.
Dang it, you've taken my two of them.
We could talk about it together. Because here they come, man. Chargers, winners of four in a row, winners of five of their last six. Just quietly coming along right now. Harbaugh and the crew out there on the left coast. They finally got Omarion Hampton back after a while. He scores a touchdown on the ground, has almost 90 yards in the game. And they're just a solid team. They're just a really solid team. And you look around the landscape of the AFC this year, who does anybody really believe in as far as a true Super Bowl contender on the AFC side? You can believe, I think, in a lot of teams this year, and I could see why some people would believe in the Chargers. So Chargers right now take care of the Cowboys, and they're locked in right now at the most important time. So I'll go with the L.A. Chargers partying like a rock star.
Yeah, I'd go with Chicago Bears. I mean, this is one of the great turnarounds, in my opinion, that we've seen in a while. I mean, you look at the Bears and the Patriots both being in the playoffs now, but what Caleb Williams has become is crazy, because that's what he looked like in his heyday at Southern Cal.
Yeah.
And before that, obviously, Oklahoma, but at Southern Cal, that's what he looked like. And JT Barrett is definitely, you can see the influence of JT Barrett on him as quarterback's coach. In all kinds of ways, but the whole team has changed. I mean, they've got an offensive line that's fairly competent now. Stunning. They should be partying like a rock star in Chicago.
It's wild, man. DJ Moore walks it off with that touchdown, and after the game, he's wearing the cheese grater hat. I don't know if you saw that.
That's one of the great throws and catches you're ever going to see.
Good stuff.
I was commenting to my wife. I said, you know, we go gaga every time. Jeremiah Smith makes a catch like that or something, or even Carnell Tate. Dude, turn on the NFL every weekend. You'll see like 15 or 20.
Dudes are unreal, and they invested a lot around Caleb Williams over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Playmakers, offensive line, and then you bring in an offensive-minded head coach, and this thing's starting to come together. And that division is going to be fun for some years now. You look at where the Lions are, and you look at where they are as well. And so in the Packers, too, got a nice young core as well. TLC, I stole one. I'm sorry, man. I won't steal anymore. Who you got next?
I got one more. I still don't think this guy was a good draft pick. I thought it was incredibly unwise, and I will continue to say so, but he had a good weekend, so I'll celebrate him for it, and that's Ashton Jensen, who put up 128 yards on the ground and 60 yards in the air, because apparently Henry Toa Toa was matched up one-on-one with him and just didn't cover him. So he had two catches of over 50-plus yards. Good for him. And I think the Raiders fans probably got the best-case scenario, a competitive loss.
Yes, exactly what you want.
And so now you have the Raiders and the Giants, who are currently, I guess, in reverse order. We can say the Giants are number one in the draft, and the Raiders are number two in the draft, and they play each other next week. So you would like to see another competitive loss if you can get it. However, Jackson Dart played probably one of the worst games that any quarterback has played all year. So I don't know. The Giants might be even worse, but for now, competitive losses is what you want if you're a Raiders fan, and they got it.
I'll tell you what, one of my best friends is a Titans fan, and he's sick that they've won two of the last three. Beat Cleveland, beat Kansas City yesterday, because at this point, like,
it's coming around, the wind's coming around.
Yeah, exactly.
They went from the number one pick to number six now.
Yeah, tough.
Here's the thing about Ginty. I voted for him for the Heisman Trophy last year over Travis Hunter. I don't have any qualms about doing that. He was banged up, obviously, early in the year and stuff, and so I think he's kind of coming on now, like I expected him to play. I think he is sweet, man. I like him.
I'll tell you what, my favorite running back to watch is Bijan Robinson. Just catching him yesterday and watching him, just looks like he's just playing a different game. Like, he's just so slippery, can do everything on the ground and through the air as well. So, yeah, we could easily put him in party like a rock star as well, because he had himself a day. A guy that always has a day is Ian Fitzsimmons. He joins us in 2 minutes to talk about the college football playoff and a lot more. Rothman and Ice, right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Hi. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
That you are. Welcome back in. Happy holidays to you. Happy Monday to you. Matty Ice, Tim May in the building today for our guy AR, going to bring in one of our favorites, the one and only Ian Fitzsimmons. Fitzy, happy holidays, brother. How we feeling today? You good?
Man, I'm good. I'm in New Orleans. They're putting my radio ugly ass this face on TV tomorrow, man, for New Orleans Bowl. And when I got assigned this, I told my wife, you know, and she says, you know why they asked you, don't you? I went, because I'm pretty good at what I do. And she goes, dummy, it's Christmas Eve the next day. Everyone else turned it down. Don't screw it up. There you go. You got to love a great woman behind you, right? Just to go ahead and say, you know what? You were like 15th on the list, and they finally found somebody who said, yes, I'll work on December 23rd and fly home on December 24th. So,
hey, Luke.
Tim May. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, Ian, man? How you doing, man? I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voice. By the way, when they had told Lou Gehrig to go in for Wally Pipp, he did not hesitate. So, good for you, brother.
With him, man. I jumped at it. It's a game check. I'm in.
Let's do it.
No doubt. Your stuff, Christmas presents.
Your stuff from the sidelines and stuff from some of those national, even the radio shows and stuff is excellent, brother. So, whatever way you get your foot in the door, man, go slam it.
That's it. And by the way, boys, hey, Buckeyes, get ready. Because I just had Miami and Texas A&M in a wind-driven. And Tim, this is for you.
Yeah.
Let's go open wheel for you, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting there at the starting block, and this is what the wind was like. And you're just sitting there, and you're still on red, and there's no wind. And all of a sudden, bam, here comes a 15 to 20 mile an hour gust. And that damn light went green, and you hit the gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like on the field at College Station. We had 5 missed field goals. Neither quarterback could throw a damn completion because it was brutal conditions. But I'll tell you this, Buckeye fans, get ready. Mm-hmm. That defensive front for Miami is no joke. I've never seen Reuben Bain in person yet.
Mm.
And when he took the field, the first thing that came to mind was Rocky III.
Yeah.
When Hulk Hogan comes walking into the ring like Thunderlips, right?
Yes.
And the announcers go, awesome. Just awesome. That is what Reuben Bain looked like, man. You could stack books on his calves, much less his butt. I mean, he is vicious. And then you got Akeem Mesidor on the other side. And you got Keontae Scott back, arguably the best nickel corner in all of college football. man, they are legit. And Malachi Toney, holy hell.
Yeah.
This dude's 17. I mean, he should be going to a kegger with his high school buddies on Christmas break, right?
Yeah.
No. This dude is one of the most underrated playmakers in all of college football. Having said all of that, give me the Buckeyes. I'll give it to you right now. Because Vegas says so. They're a 10-point favorite. I'll take the Bucks, but it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be a backdoor cover at the end because Miami's front on that. I mean that defensive front is legit.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. You know, it's funny. I was watching Reuben Bain, and not the same kind of player. But he has that presence to him like Jalen Carter had for Georgia a little bit. That you know he's going to be there and he's going to be there all day. Remember how Jalen Carter would get up after a play? Yeah. It looked like he could barely make it back to the huddle, and then boom, man. I like Reuben Bain. I think he's got some limitations, but we'll see. You know, we'll see where that goes. But the bottom line is, what a player, man. I agree with you. Hey, what's
the top 10 pick, Tim? Yeah. He's a top 10 pick.
And oh, yeah.
Mesidor on the other side is a late first, early second round pick.
Agreed.
So, you know, they're outstanding up front. Their offensive line is outstanding. Here's the thing, though, because Mark Fletcher had a breakout game. You know, and he's more of one NFL scout told me he's more of a doubles hitter. He doesn't hit triples and home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? He hit a couple triples against the Texas A&M defense. It's pretty damn stout. So that surprised me a bit. But bottom line is, I just think Ohio State defensively is going to be too much for Carson Beck. I'm not a Carson Beck guy. Everyone has him as a early second round type pick. I don't think so. I think at the next level, he is a journeyman backup. He might spend 10, 12 years in the league, but I don't think he's a starter at the next level. So with Matt Patricia and that monster mind that he's got, and I said it last week and I'll say it again, hand him the Frank Broyles Award. He is by far, bar none, the best offensive assistant in all of college football. He's going to have plenty of time to dial up some serious mastermind stuff that he does to slow down Fletcher and try and contain Malachi Toney, who they line up all over the field.
Yeah, be a fun matchup, that's for sure. Let's zoom out from that one, Fitzy, and get your thoughts on Alabama and Oklahoma and how Alabama came back to win that one. But I guess maybe more importantly right now is what you think this win now has done for Kalen DeBoer.
Well, it quieted the inbreds down, to say the least.
Hey, wait a minute. I grew up an Alabama fan, man. Watch yourself. I grew up an Alabama fan. You know that. Go ahead now.
And, Tim, you know that I spent six and a half years as an undergrad at Alabama.
You spent a fortune there.
Being a bookie and a bartender is not a way to get out in four, much less five. There you go.
There you go.
It's
I'm sorry.
It's a bad combination to try and get out early. But, look, man, I can say it because I went there. Look, DeBoer is an outstanding coach. I mean, I was embedded with Washington when they made the title run to the national championship game and lost to that team from up north.
Mm-hmm.
But he's won at every level, from Sioux Falls to Washington. He is a remarkable coach and a leader of men, and he wasn't going anywhere. I mean, he was.
Right.
Everyone's talking about Michigan. He was never leaving Alabama. That ain't him. He's not a guy who's going to run from a challenge. He runs to a challenge. So, you know, when it comes to a win, did it quiet the natives down? Absolutely, it did. But now he's a 7-point dog to Indiana, and I've got that game. I'll be at the Rose Bowl for Indiana and Alabama. And I'll tell you this: you know, Alabama's got talent at every level, and they are also a player led team. But so is Indiana. I think that number is way too high, which means Vegas is begging you to take Bama, which is not a good sign for Kalen DeBoer. But at least he won a playoff game. He survived and advanced. And once you get out there, you never damn know. You guys know that.
Right.
Man. I mean, you have no idea once you get out there. Down 17-0, most people had them written off for dead.
Yep.
And that team showed some serious guts to be able to come back and not only win, but win in Norman in frigid and windy conditions. By double digits. Impressive.
Hey, Ian, I said this a while ago, by the way. I knew you were from the Capstone. I was giving you a hard time there. You and I spent many a day shooting the bull outside the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. But I digress. Bottom line is, I really think we saw an Alabama team awaken. I mean, that's what I witnessed watching it from television land. What is your take on that? I mean, can this team, because it has talent across the board, but they had an offensive line that couldn't get out of its own way for a while. You have a quarterback who was running for his life, Ty Simpson, who hadn't looked like the Ty Simpson from earlier in the year. But I got a sense they awakened on both sides of the ball. What's your take on that?
Well, they got healthy also, too.
Yes, I mean, true.
Look at a team that played at Georgia at night and beat Georgia.
Right.
At Georgia, between the hedges. That was a healthy football team. When they played in the SEC championship game, they were down 8 starters and 6 backups. That's 14 dudes, man, against, yeah. against Georgia.
Against Georgia.
That get significant time and reps. Man, that's not an easy task. Now they got healthy again, and you saw a team avenge a loss against Oklahoma when they're also a bit banged up. So this is a healthy Alabama Crimson Tide team going out to Pasadena. And that's where I can't wait to watch this matchup, man, because Kurt Cignetti last year, that was not a physical football team that went to the college football playoff. This team went to Autzen and beat a very physical Dan Lanning-coached Oregon Ducks team. They beat a very physical Ohio State team in the Big Ten title game. This is a different version of Indiana. So, Kalen DeBoer knows it. Ryan Grubb knows it. Their offensive coordinator. You know, the players know it. This is going to be a good old-fashioned paint swap and passion behind your pads type football game.
Let's talk about the Sugar Bowl because we're getting Ole Miss in Georgia. Ole Miss just comes out of the gate and completely puts it on Tulane with that offense just being up and down the field. Tulane had no answers for anything that they can do. Now, moving on, Georgia coming out of the bye, Ole Miss coming out of a game where they were very, very clean. Fitzy, how are you feeling about this matchup down there in New Orleans?
Is anybody else, and I'm being dead serious when I say this, has anybody else become an Ole Miss fan because of Lane Kiffin and the way he left those players?
I think there's some people that would be with you on that. Yeah, for sure.
I think so, man.
I'm hoping that they get to the title game, dude. And I don't know if they're in the, I don't have the bracket in front of me. I don't know if they're in the path of the Bucks or not. By the way, I don't care. Well, sorry. Because guess what? That is for those players to be abandoned by their head coach. And for Pete Golding to have to call guys like Charlie Weiss Jr., who called a hell of a game. And I love the way Pete Golding, the new head coach and their former defensive coordinator from Hammond, Louisiana, who calls out Lane Kiffin going, hey, this is Charlie Weiss calling plays. This isn't Kiffin's offense. This isn't Lane Kiffin's offense. This is Charlie Weiss's offense.
Yep.
I loved every bit of that. And for those players to overcome all odds, and just give Lane Kiffin the football finger. Hell, gave two of them, right?
Right. Double whammy. Sorry,
guys. I mean, even if they were to meet, you know, my alma mammy or anybody else, or my daughter goes to Oregon, Dan Lanning's a great friend,
right,
along with Tosh Lupoy and Will Stein, I don't care. Part of me is going, you know what, Ole Miss? Go take down the big tamale and give Lane Kiffin not one but two football fingers, because it would be an unbelievable story if that were to happen. Now, will it? Don't think so, because Georgia's that damn good. They are loaded, and they're playing angry.
It's going to be fun, man. Cannot wait. It'll start next Wednesday, Ohio State, Miami, and then we'll get a triple header starting at high noon with Oregon and Texas Tech. Fitzy, we will talk to you next week. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff, man. Yeah, that's it.
We're
up against it, man. We know we could talk to you for an hour, but we got to get the break, man.
Your damn clock integrity. My gosh, this has got you guys on a regimen, bro. I mean, God bless them, man.
We're disciplined,
hey,
baby.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Yeah. Jorge from UA, Shake Simone, all the cronies, everyone up there that I love in the 614. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk next week, guys. Be well.
Appreciate you, man. You too, Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN right there. Getting you ready for the second round of the college football playoff. Coming up next in our Buckeye Bulletin, play calling. Coach Day talked about that and where that's headed as they get ready for Miami. You'll hear his response to those questions next. This is Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Can't get enough of your favorite fan content? Good news, we're on all the digitals. Follow 971 The Fan on X, Facebook, YouTube, The Talk, and Gram. Your digital home for endless shenanigans. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present.
Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. Tim May in the building today for AR. You know, coming out of the Indiana game over there in Indy for the Big Ten title, one of the major talking points was the offense, right? Mm-hmm. And how weird of a week it was for Hartline and Day and the recruiting stuff, and Hartline being named the head coach down there at USF, and just wasn't a clean day for the offense, as we know. They had their opportunities, though. They were knocking at the door a couple times down there in the red zone and couldn't cash in. You were over there today for Coach Day's press conference, and he was asked about play calling and what that's going to look like now moving forward, and here was his response.
Yeah, first off, you know, we just really happy for Brian and the opportunity he's getting. It's such a strange calendar, and the timing is brutal. And but you know, he's handled it great, as you can imagine. And so, you know, right now as we move forward, he's coaching the receivers. You know, it's a lot on his plate. It's a lot you know, to manage. So we're kind of taking it you know, day to day right now, just in terms of as we move forward going into the game. You know, it'll be a group effort. You know, Keenan will be very much involved. Everybody will be involved with the play calling. Ultimately, it'll be my decision, you know, what calls go into the game in this game. You know, kind of wanted to take that off of Brian's plate as we head into the playoffs, because he's got so much going on with what he's trying to do. But he's working hard towards it, and we're just going to keep evaluating it every day to see what's best for the group.
Seems like a good move, Tim. I like this decision. Maybe take a little bit less off of Hartline's plate. He can stay with what he does very, very well, and all this is Ryan Day's offense anyway. And so, yeah, giving him time to prepare for Miami as an offensive-minded guy and just a good head coach in general, I'm here for it. I think it's the right call.
Yeah, as I asked Ryan facetiously, I asked him, he had a pretty good answer to it, but about, is it kind of like getting back on a bike, you know, bicycle, when it comes to play calling? And as I've said countless times this year, whenever I made such a big deal about it, one way or the other, was, you know, you're not pulling plays out of your back pocket, you know, or as I call it, your rear pocket, because you almost think I'm going to say something else there. You're not pulling plays out of your rear pocket. I mean, these guys work hard through the week to come up with a game plan for all kinds of situations and stuff, and then you get to pick pretty much finally what play you've got a hunch for from that group of plays. And and plus with the, you know, the buck stops here when it comes to the, pardon the pun, but with the buck stops here when it comes to the with the head coach.
Who's calling?
You know, you think you got your phone turned off, but the alarms always go off.
Who is calling? You want to share? Who's
nobody. Okay. It was no phone call. It was an alarm. It was like the uncle on It's a Wonderful Life, and they're my shoestrings, but strings try to run my fingers. But the bottom line is it's a group effort in play calling. And I think Ryan's looking – I get the idea Ryan's looking forward to it, because
instead
of vetoing somebody, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, you know? Step on
and
up.
There's a big difference, and I think he – you know, he may not say it, but I think he misses that aspect of it, although he was always involved with it anyway.
Mm-hmm, no doubt. We touched on the red zone stuff and how that was clunky for them in the Big Ten championship game. Here he is on fixing some of those red zone struggles.
I mean, as we all know, you know, that's what it comes down to in these big games, is the situations. And, you know, we didn't do a good enough job on third down in the red zone. And certainly, you know, you combine short yardage and the red zone in the same spots, just wasn't well done. So, we gotta do a better job down there, and certainly it's our job to make sure that we have the right guys in a situation to be successful. Whether it's the right calls, the right schemes, the right groupings, like whatever it might be, and that's it. But you know, it's everybody involved with it, and you know, we'll keep working to make sure that we do a good job of you know, scoring touchdowns when we get down there. You know, our guys understand how important that is, and so we spent some extra time down there, obviously during our practices already. And it's the same thing on defense. You know, when they get down there, we got to win those battles. You know, but that's playing. And you know, when you look at, you know, the teams, you know, even who played this past week, the teams who score touchdowns and get down there typically win. The ones who don't, or you know, don't get any points, typically put themselves at risk. So it's a tough lesson to learn, but certainly one that we're going to get.
Absolutely, the currency of the realm is touchdowns, not field goals. That's the currency, and you've got to deal in currency. When you get into these kind of games, number two, he's right. I mean, you know, like I professed for the last couple of weeks now, you know, taking Jeremiah Smith off the field and putting in four tight ends, that looks pretty cool sometimes. But boy, think about the attention, for example, that Jeremiah Smith and or Carnell Tate grab from the defense. You almost have to spend four guys to make sure those two guys don't burn you in the red zone. We'll see if they get into that kind of aspect of things. Because, you know, this Miami team's going to be coming after them. I mean, up front and stuff. So there are all kinds of every opponent poses a different challenge. But we'll see where they go. I mean, they've rarely ever had two backs in the backfield, two true backs. Although they have given the ball to Nate Roberts a couple of times, that tight end quasi fullback. But we'll see where they go in that realm. But you only get a couple of cracks at it, you know. And everybody wants to say, well, that's where they screwed up. Well, you know. That I don't think you can judge it off two or three plays. You got to judge it over the year. I thought they were going a good direction with the beef they were putting in there with the four tight ends at one point. But then people kind of catch up to it, mm-hmm. you know. And then they kind of branched off of a few of those things and threw the ball a few times out of that. But, you know, you almost think you got to have Jeremiah Smith on the field, man.
Yeah, and it sounds like he knows that. He mentioned in the clip talking about a little bit of the personnel and what that needs to look like. Yeah. I'm sure there's some regret there that those guys weren't in those situations. Because to your point,
well, the thing about Jeremiah Smith, he can make a play when the play's not there.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
No, he can. He tilts the field. If you're a defender, a defensive coach, when he's out there and Carnell's out there, you better throw an extra body to his side because you don't want to leave that guy one on one in coverage, right? And what that can do is maybe lighten the box for you in the run game as well. Maybe you're offensive line and run game.
Well, you heard me refer to it last year. I call it the lean-to defense is what team, because they might have a one guy in front of them, but there's another guy leaning toward him, you know. So,
no doubt, that is today's Buckeye Bulletin. Coming up, top of the hour, crazy NFL weekend. The college football playoff had its moments where that was fun, a couple duds in that thing, but the NFL always seems to deliver, and now here we are with TLC Steelers picking up a big win. One of their star players getting into some stuff with a fan. And then you look at the NFC North, things are getting strained over there as well. We'll get into everything that happened around the National Football League next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight says man's hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Furniture.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Jacob Reimer. The Ohio State football team now knows their opponent for the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. They will take on Miami after the Hurricanes beat Texas A&M 10-3 on Saturday. Ohio State quarterback Julian Sain spoke today on how he's looking forward to this matchup as he's dreamed of playing in games like this.
Just being a kid and playing the game I love. You know, growing up, I always wanted to play on the biggest stage and, you know, play in front of hundreds of thousands of fans. So it's been awesome this past season.
Kickoff on New Year's Eve is at 7:30. The rest of the college football playoff from over the weekend, Oregon, Alabama, and Ole Miss were the other three teams who advanced to the quarterfinals that will be played on New Year's Day. In the NHL, the Columbus Blue Jackets are back in action tonight on the road as they visit the Los Angeles Kings. The CBJ look to snap their two-game losing streak. Face-off is at 10 o'clock, and you can catch the action here on The Fan starting at 9:30. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, welcome back in. Matty Ice, Tim May in the building today. TLC on the board doing his thing. Happy holidays to you. Bottom of the hour, Adam King from 10TV stops by to talk all things Buckeyes, CFP, and a lot more. You know, we got a bowl game starting right now up there, Timmy. I think it's the Idaho Potato Bowl or something like that.
There you go, man.
It's sad what's happened to the bowl games, man. I just really don't. Unless you're betting, I don't know if there's a lot of interest for people, right? Unless it's your team.
No, I like watching.
You're betting.
I like watching bowl games. I like watching I like watching any football game where there are situations, you know, when a team looks like it's coming back or, you know, fourth quarter, late fourth quarter stuff that's going on. You can learn something from any football game you watch. And I like college football, so I'm not going to say I don't like it. I'm not going to agree with you. I'm not going to just join the masses and say, yeah, they stink.
They stink for me.
You know what? An 18 playoff is all the playoff we need. We don't need 24 teams. We don't need 12. We don't need 16.
That's where it's headed, too, right? I was talking to one of my friends about that.
But my point is, you're going to get rid of the bowls, and then now what are you going to have left?
No, I hear you on that.
They put two of those games the other night on TNT. Are you kidding me?
It was odd. It was odd for sure.
What were you talking to your friend about?
Just talking about the playoff expansion.
The playoff expansion.
And where this is headed and where it is now and what's the right number. I don't know if we'll ever be able to really lock in on the perfect number. There's always going to be debates and all of that stuff. But it feels to me that at least the first round of this thing, it's a waste. What are we doing?
Let me ask you this.
What are we doing?
Is James Madison playing at Oregon more compelling than this Potato Bowl? I mean, seriously, when you think about it, I'm talking about,
for me,
I've got to watch this game.
Because I like to lock in on a guy like Dante Moore. I enjoy watching him play. I have no interest right now in Washington State and Utah State.
Well, that's my point. My point is that you want to watch something in that game, but you don't feel like James Madison really has a chance, you know, I mean, in a game like that. It's too bad because I just think you can identify eight teams that should be playing for the championship, but I could name you six that really are legit.
No, I agree with that.
And the rest of them are,
agree with that.
The rest of them are to make money 100%. Playoff games.
They'll never admit it, but that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly why this thing is going to expand. I was in the camp of, I thought four was perfect. But you could talk me into eight for sure. But I thought four was really, really good. What was really, really good this weekend was some of the things that happened around the NFL. TLC, I know you got to be feeling really good right now. Maybe not really good, but good about your Steelers.
What do you mean not really good? I am feeling really good for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, going into Detroit and doing that. Winners of three in a row now.
Yep.
That's good stuff right there from your team, man. Mm-hmm. It was a really good. And look, you're down TJ Watt as well in the game. And so, yeah, that's a really impressive win yesterday for Pittsburgh on the road.
The sad thing was if that game ended with a Lions victory, that would have been one of the most depressing losses ever because for 3.5 quarters, the Pittsburgh Steelers kicked the Lions' teeth in. Like, we were tougher everywhere. The Lions had injuries on their O-line and their defensive front. So did we. We're on our fourth string left tackle. We're on a backup left guard. So we got our own problems too in the exact same way. And we went up there and we totally out-toughed them.
Yeah.
Jared Goff ends the game with 300 some odd yards. That was the most too little, too late 300 yard performance. That was Blake Bortles-esque what Jared Goff put together on the football field yesterday. Jahmyr Gibbs, damn near useless for that entire game. So the back half of the fourth quarter really kind of flipped the scoreboard a lot, but large sample size, but you can make the argument they won. They should have won because they had two touchdowns taken off the board from penalties. So you can make an argument, hey, you were right there. Close the game out, Detroit. But they didn't. Mm-hmm. And for basically, if you want to like expand the math, 7/8 of that game, the Steelers were so much better than the Lions. And it was crazy because that's a really talented team. That's a team that has toughness is one of the hallmarks of what their franchise is all about and what Dan Campbell does. I could not believe how tough, physical, and just put together the Steelers looked because they haven't looked like that all year.
No, not at all. Jaylen Warren with a monster game. It was crazy. They mentioned yesterday on the broadcast just how like methodical and slow this Steelers offense is, last in the league in place. Like, they just go at their own pace. They're going to wear you down with
the
run
game, baby.
Play action to the tight ends and all these things, and maybe take a couple shots to DK Metcalf every once in a while. What's unfortunate about this whole situation is the DK Metcalf deal has now stolen the headline away for the most part from this win. And so that's going to be kind of a wait and see mode. What's next from the NFL? If you missed it, DK Metcalf's on the sideline and he and a fan were getting into it. The fans leaning over the rail there. And the stories, I guess I should say, Tim Mays, from the fans' perspective, he said that he called DK by his full government name and that got DK out of whack and took a swipe at him, which he didn't connect, but the NFL's not going to care at that. They're still care about that. They're still going to punish him for doing that. Now, DK's story is, according to Chad Ochocinco, who does a podcast with Shannon Sharpe, so I'm sure Chad talked to DK after the game, is that the fan called him an N-word and called his mom the C-word. And so, look, now it's he said, we live in this world now, Tim A., as you know, where there's cameras everywhere, there are microphones everywhere. I will not be surprised if we get the true audio in this. But at the end of the day, while I can respect DK's side of things and his actions, if that happened, it's something as a player you got to know. You just got to control your emotions in that moment, which is obviously easier said than done. But that's kind of the unfortunate deal coming out of that game, is the DK Metcalf situation with a fan.
Yeah, the only thing that was odd about it, if I remember correctly, because I was watching a lot of stuff then, it happened during the game, right? I mean, it happened in the midst of the game. That's where Metcalf was wrong. If he's wrong about anything, he was wrong about engaging in the middle of the game with anybody from the stands, except on a touchdown celebration where you leap into the stands. So, number one, that's wrong. Number two, there are two sides to this story. Anybody can see that, because I would hope the NFL. I hope the NFL, you've got to penalize him for engaging in the middle of the game like that, but I don't think you go any farther than that with him. Any kind of, like, you know, a little fine or not a suspension, I don't think. This isn't Indiana going into the stands, you know.
Malice
this
at
isn't the
palace.
Pacers.
Yeah, no.
The Pacers going into the stands in the palace. I mean, so that's where I come down on it. But I think both were wrong, but it probably sounds like the fan was a lot wronger.
That's what it sounds like, and we shall see if that story is true. So Steelers now at 9-6. On the AFC side of things, there are only two teams at the moment that have a clinched playoff spot, that being the Denver Broncos at 12-3 and the New England Patriots at 12-3 as well. So the first five seeds right now in the AFC, Broncos, Pats, Jacksonville at 11-4, Pittsburgh at 9-6, the Chargers at 11-4. On the NFC side of things, you have five teams that have clinched the playoff spot, with Seattle, Chicago, Philly, the Rams, and the San Francisco 49ers. And so it's a different look, especially on the AFC side of things this year. This Kansas City Chiefs team is going through it. Gardner Minshew, their backup quarterback, he tears his ACL yesterday. And so it's interesting, right? Because you can look at it two ways, I think, if you're a Chiefs fan. This is obviously a disappointing year, but you're inside this window with an elite quarterback and a Hall of Fame head coach, and you're going to have the highest draft pick that you've had since Pat Mahomes took over this thing. And so having these kind of one-offs every once in a while due to injuries and just some inconsistency, I don't think is the worst thing when you have guys in their prime. It's kind of like a found gem, I think, for Kansas City, because they'll be picking, what, top 20, maybe even top 15 when we get to the end of this thing.
Yeah, but the good thing is they're out of the way. I mean, you know, they're not blocking somebody else's chance to go play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mainly what they've done more than anything else over the last decade, or whatever you want to call it, the last many years. So in one form, it's quite refreshing. In another, it's kind of like depressing a little bit to see a franchise now have to regroup, reset itself more than anything else, because Patrick Mahomes has always been getting injured off and on. Now, this is unfortunate, his double whammy knee injury.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is everybody needs a step back sometimes and a regroup. But this is good, in my opinion, for the AFC. And, you know, when you look at New England being back now and with a guy that was really, like I said, a linchpin to a lot of what they did during the Belichick years, when he's leading on Mike Vrabel, and they've got a quarterback by the name of May, even though he adds the E on the end of it. What could go wrong there? That's just the way I look at it, don't you, Matty Ice?
Yes, I completely agree.
Here's the thing. We've seen it now a couple of times with Ray Goff, right on down the line. Quarterbacks get a new start somewhere, or they get somebody else new in charge, like Caleb Williams. You've seen Caleb Williams blossom. Drake May, a lot of people thought he was almost a wash, I think, from the, you know, you know, whatever. But now you're seeing him under new guidance, et cetera, a new way of doing things, and suddenly he's blossomed. So you're seeing, it's hard to see old quarterbacks kind of fall to the wayside and you guys kind of come along, but you kind of got to get used to it now.
What's interesting?
I mean, Jared Goff.
Yeah, I know what you mean. What's interesting about some of the quarterbacks,
Ray Goff,
quarterbacks that you're touching on, is you look at second-year guy in Bo Nix, second-year guy in Drake May.
Bingo.
And a guy in Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
All bus, right, a year ago.
Oh, a year and a half ago.
I
was looking. Some fans were like, is this our guy? Is this not our guy?
Yeah, it's a fast bust world.
Two of the three have offensive-minded head coaches.
We
look at Ben Johnson and Sean Payton out there in Denver, and then over in New England, you got Vrabel, a defensive mind, but he hired a vet in Josh McDaniel.
Yeah. Right. But Vrabel played some offense, if you remember correctly.
So he's got a feel for it as well. And so that's just what you have to have, is that marriage coming together.
Josh
when you
McDaniel.
Get that, man, it can really get the ball rolling. And so real quick, going back to Kansas City, because I wanted to mention this. They put a graphic up yesterday. I was watching the game, that it's eerie for both Mahomes and Brady. In year 9, they had the same exact injury with a torn ACL, I think maybe LCL or PCL or whatever it is. Both the guys at the time had 3 Super Bowls, and they just going through this in year 9.
Yeah.
It's crazy just how their careers are mirroring each other right now, even in that way.
And guess who Brady did it against?
He did it against
the Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Yeah, and plus, both those guys are renowned for playing when probably they shouldn't play, you know, with a little aching knee. I mean, we all knew Mahomes was beaten up a little bit, and then all of a sudden it pops.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's kind of like us. We got a sore throat, and we're still here.
Got to push through.
Bingo.
Got to push through. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, unfortunate injury up in Cleveland yesterday for a former Buckeye. You'll hear Shador Sanders on that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Are you fired up? Is it Monday? It must be Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people. But anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes are back at the shot for a holiday matinee with Grambling State.
Live fan coverage starts Tuesday at 1 with the tip at 2.
Every game, every season, proud to be your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A nice mix of sun and clouds for us today and seasonable with temperatures in the low 40s. As we go into tonight, chances of rain overnight, otherwise cloudy with lows in the 30s. And then for Tuesday, cloudy skies across the day and warmer with breezy winds and temperatures in the mid to low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, welcome back in. Before we get into some pre-snap reads, let me talk to you guys about Bet365. Because if you're a new customer at Bet365, they got a great deal waiting just for you. All you have to do, folks, is bet $5. You will soon after that get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $150 and turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines. Fun one. What could be a fun one on Monday Night Football tonight? Niners coming across the country to Indy tonight. Phillip Rivers' second game off the couch. Can't wait to see what that looks like. I'm locking in, though, on Juwan Jennings. He's on a bit of a heater right now when it comes to scoring touchdown. So give me the juice on a plus 145 touchdown for Juwan Jennings. Quiet year for the Niners, right? Not a splashy year, but here they are in the mix in their own division and maybe looking to, you know, make some noise in the postseason. And that's one of those teams, because of their experience with the players they have on the field and at their head coaching spot, and with Robert Saleh now back in the mix coaching up the defense, that you don't want to see that Niners team in the tournament, because they kind of know what it takes to go on a deep run and get to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And what they know, I mean, better, you know, as much as anybody, is you only got to win by 1 point. You know, you don't have to blow people up and blow people out. But, yeah, absolutely. That West, man, that looks pretty sweet out there. Don't you agree?
No, I mean, completely agree. It's been a fun division. It really has.
I mean, the Seahawks, I mean, with Darnold and right on down the line, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I mean, what we were talking about that earlier, you know, about how a guy can find renewed birth, for want of another term, like Sam Darnold, you know, was given up for the – we all saw him play against Ohio State way back in, what was that, 2017, the Cotton Bowl that year. Of that season, and then he gets high draft pick, et cetera, and then he just gets in the wrong place with the wrong people. Then he finds himself a little bit with Minnesota. Then they get rid of him, and now it's like, what are you doing? Well, you know, you give him two throws a game to get out of his system. He's pretty damn good, man.
He's putting together a nice little career on the kind of the back end, if you will. And if J.J. McCarthy wasn't a first-round pick, I think they would have kept Sam Darnold around.
I think they probably would have.
Because they just had to see that through to see what they had.
But you look at Kirk Cousins, same thing. You know, it's like, wow, we got a better guy coming, we think.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
So yesterday, I mean, listen. The Browns were scratching and clawing. They kept swinging throughout this game. They had opportunities late in the game to maybe make some noise, and they just couldn't muster up really anything on offense. When Shador in the offense was trying to march down the field late, you could just see that Bills defensive front was hunting, man. The Browns offensive line just could not hold up. Shador really had no time to do much of anything. He comes out of the game with a couple picks, and this one did have the touchdown in the game as well. But the unfortunate news, the real unfortunate news, I think, for Brown / Buckeye fans, and this one was Quinshon Judkins going down. And he's got a dislocated ankle and a fractured fibula. And it was one of those things, Tim, you know, where the broadcast doesn't want to show the injury. That's when you know it was really, really bad. And obviously now we know that's the case. And so this Browns rookie class, there's something to it. There really is something to it. Carson Schwestinger is going to win probably Defensive Rookie of the Year. Harold Fannin's having a really good year. I mean, it's a guy that came out of the MAC, came from Bowling Green.
Yeah, but man, people watched him in pre-draft.
They were right.
They knew what they were getting.
And they were absolutely right in that. And so there's some guys I think you can really build around. We'll see what the recovery process is like for Quinshon, because that's a very, very tough injury. Here's Shador Sanders on the Quinshon injury that he had yesterday.
It really hurt that Quinshon went down. Like, Quinshon, me and Quinshon was in the room talking yesterday till like 11:30, just about life, just about everything, because the type of person he is, and I know he been through a lot, and just building that bond with the rookie class, like having that be the new energy, you know, and kind of maintain on track, stay on track with everything. So knowing that he went down with that, it was definitely sad. It was definitely sad because I'm like, backside, I can't throw this slant. They covering it. You know, they ain't like two. I can't throw this slant. He heavy inside. So, yeah. So that was my only option. You know, that was my option with throwing it. So I feel bad because, like, I do it, you know. But, yeah. Truthfully, yeah, it hurts.
Overall, though, a good year for Quinshon, leading all rookie runners in the NFL and rushing yards. And so if he can get back to that guy, if they can invest in a better offensive line in the offseason, along with playmakers, too. They just need more outside of Fannin and maybe a couple of Judy plays every once in a while. But he's just a guy you can't really rely on. Are you a guy, Tim May, that believes in Shador Sanders and maybe building around him for one more year?
Yes. I do. I mean, succinctly, that's about as succinct as Tim May ever gets, is yes. What I like about him, nobody's the same, right? I mean, you put three guys together, three quarterbacks in a class, whatever, and you ask them all different questions, you might get three different answers and stuff. And I know that Shador didn't really pass the interview test, if in fact he even did the interviews before the draft. But the point is, man, just watch this guy. He has a cool about him, and he seems to get cooler under pressure. It doesn't mean he always makes the right decision. Doesn't mean he always throws the right ball. But he has a touch about him when it comes to throwing the football. You and I were talking about that during the break. That's undeniable. Even on little flip screens and stuff. There's an essence to him that I really like. I think they can grow. That can grow around. And you're right about this. He's right about this rookie class, man. If they kind of keep it intact, I mean, clearly he's had an affinity with Quinshon Judkins, with Fannin. I mean, it's your best friend in football as a quarterback, especially when you get to that level, is the tight end, whoever the tight end is on the field. But like he's talking about, you know, just kind of piqued my interest again a minute ago when he was talking about a slant. He was talking about a play, and you're expecting Quinshon to be in there or Quinshon to do this, that, and the other. You do get used to, even though there may be another guy in there, you forget that other guy is in there, if you follow me. Follow me. Yeah. And a throw you would have made to Quinshon, wouldn't want to necessarily throw to that guy. Mm-hmm. So there's something about continuity. But I really – you got to be impressed with this Browns rookie class. I don't know if you are or not.
No, I am completely with
absolutely.
You on that. Can you not be?
I thought it was folly taking two quarterbacks, but they wouldn't have gotten a Shador if they hadn't taken those two quarterbacks, right. If you follow that.
Yeah. And I think this rookie class.
So I do. I do like Shador, man.
I think this rookie class may save Andrew Berry's job.
Might be, because finally.
When you show the front office that, because sometimes like you hit on one guy that makes the ownership feel really good.
Right.
You hit on
Myles Garrett.
Right. You hit on two or three of these guys in the same class, and maybe at the most important position, then I wouldn't be surprised if Berry sticks around and maybe they move on from Stefanski. We'll see how much change happens in the offseason.
And by the way, though, I listened to the post-game press conference. You know, I listened to my man Tyvus up there doing his thing and stuff. But the post-game press conference, and it was really, really kind of eerie because I'm thinking about press conferences I've been in for 42 years with Ohio State football. One loss, and man, it's like the sky has fallen. And this was more of a like, boy, we put in a good effort. You know, I mean
even they were the reporters, they did, though.
Exactly.
They really
and
did.
And I'm just going, you know what? That's kind of the way it kind of ought to be. Mm-hmm. Everything should not be life or death, winning a football game. But when you do see signs of life, you know, I mean, but then you look at the other side. Boy, did the Bills going to get Joey Bosa, did that pay off for him?
Yeah.
And two or three plays a game, man.
Only worry was his availability, right? Because if he's out there, you know he can be an absolute
difference maker.
Two or three
plays a game. He's giving them those two or three plays a game, which are difference makers and stuff. So my point is, yeah, you can feel good if you're a Browns fan about what may be coming, but, man, that's so far away, you know?
They just need to support whoever's playing quarterback in that wide receiver room.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have Judy as your number one, averaging 35 a game, and then Isaiah Bond comes in as a rookie, and he's your second leading receiver and just 22 yards a game. There's just no respect out
there on the
outside.
Carnell Tate may be sitting there for him.
Maybe you go get it. He'll definitely open some things up there. You talk about a future of Quinshon Fannin, a guy like Carnell Tate. That'll work and should pay off down the line. Coming up in 2 minutes, the man that sits on the Iron Throne for 10TV. His name is Adam King. He stops by next. It's Rothman and Ice. Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, and player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot. Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in to Rothman and Ice. Tim May in the building today for our guy AR, and a man that just walked into the studio with a nice navy blue suit on is the man that sits on the Iron Throne at 10TV. His name is Adam King, a.k.a. as you're getting situated over there, happy holidays, sir.
Happy holidays. How are you, man? I'm situated. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm
ready to go?
Situated. I'm ready to go.
It sounds like Jeremiah Smith is situated. I want to play some audio. Do you have headphones over there?
I'm good.
Okay, you're ready to go? Because I want, you guys were at the press conference today. But
I know what you're about to play, whether I have the headphones or not.
For some Buckeye fans that didn't catch this, he kind of took us behind the curtain a little bit as to some of the things that he was growing through and some of the specific injury that he was going through at this point, back end of the season.
A little adversity, I should say. Something I never really had to deal with. I don't really be hurt, nothing like that. Nothing really bothers me, but I was something serious that I had to deal with. After that, was it Rutgers week? I was, feeling down. Like, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to play against Timo North. Like, so I was debating if I was going to play or not because it was really bad. I didn't know if I was going to be able to play. But I had to do, everything for the team, and I wanted to be out there, and I did everything I could, and we got the win.
Sounds like, fellas, a little quad injury that he was dealing with, yeah.
No, hey, definitely he got back. A quad. Yeah.
He got back. That's all that matters. Shout out to him for would have taken 4 weeks. It would have taken me 4 months.
Yeah.
I probably still wouldn't be playing.
Probably a year for
but you. But you know what? Ryan Day had a great comment though. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said you almost have to will yourself to get well. And he had that conversation with Jeremiah. And the way I understood it, Jeremiah got really much better about the day of the game against Rutgers. I mean, he started showing much improvement there. Pushkachov, he shouldn't have played against UCLA. But he's so much. We talked about this on the show leading up to that game. At least I know I brought it up. If he could play, he was going to play. Because that's what Jeremiah Smith does. And from where he comes from, I'm going to play. Because I mean a lot to the team. And the team means a lot to me, et cetera. But it was interesting. You've got those guys, Adam Stewart and Sean Barnhouse, and those guys in that training room who really do work wonders at times with these players. But, yeah, and you got to figure he wasn't 100% against Michigan, definitely wasn't 100% against Indiana, but found a way to play, right, Adam?
I think he looked 100% against Michigan. I wouldn't have known he was injured at all. I was watching those guys warm up in that game, and I was taking a video of them, and I thought I must be recording the wrong guys because both of these look exactly like they have all year.
He looks a lot like four, though.
Yes, exactly. He's as big as that guy. My biggest takeaway from the press conference is that Ohio State kind of has that swagger back. Okay. I think I got my swagger back. Mm-hmm. It felt like they were. Ohio State's very good at not talking trash and not giving bulletin board material, but still being very confident in themselves. And that is a delicate balance because there are teams that will go out there and they'll talk the talk and they'll look like Diego Pavia. And you're like, okay, well, that guy, this is just bulletin board material. Then there's the way Ohio State has found their balance. Today, Jeremiah, the best soundbite of the day. Is this what you got? Is this what you're pointing at?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you see it all over the internet, all over Twitter. They still talking about that, 20 years later, but they still worry about it. But we got something for them come New Year's Eve.
Does that qualify? If you're a Miami fan, Miami player, you hear Jeremiah Smith say that, Florida boy says, does that qualify as bulletin board material, Adam K?
No, it does not. And also, let me tell you something. I know we got a lot of listeners down in South Beach right now, and you are all up in my I put that out on the social media.
Oh.
And the amount of Miami fans that are coming after me, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you 40? I didn't think you were 40.
I'm not. I'm a young 40. Grow up. I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah. He didn't say we're going to go down there and beat you guys. It's no question. He said we've got something for
you.
That's a little bit of swagger. Mm-hmm. That's a good line. Come off it with you pretending like, he's out there saying we're going to win by 100.
Real quick, just you mentioned some of the comments. There's a picture underneath the video that you tweeted out. That's okay, Judas. We got baby Jesus with a picture of Malachi Tony. They're in their feelings down there.
You know what's really cool, though, is I learned today that there are, in fact, more than just 6 Miami Hurricane fans. I didn't know because if you watch every home game they ever
have.
It's
the same guys.
You look at the home games.
It's like they change shirts at halftime.
Yeah.
There is a comment underneath that says, the boy was regretting it while saying it with a belt to ass gif on this thing with Michael Irvin. By the way, Michael Irvin, that's part of my excitement for the game.
Of course.
Watching this man on the sideline, he's
rejuvenated.
Out of his mind on the sideline. So, yeah, they're coming after you in the comments, AK, but it's all good.
Also, grow up. He didn't say anything wrong.
He said we got something
He said for 20 years, you guys have been whining about a pass interference call. You lost the game. Move on.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
This isn't like last week. And do you know who the Maroon Goons are? No. Yes, the Maroon Goons is the nickname for the Texas A&M offensive line, and one of their offensive linemen just basically called out Reuben Bain, which is not really smart.
That was dumb.
Not really smart. So, I didn't see real bulletin board material, but if you know Jeremiah Smith, that's the way Jeremiah Smith talks, is what he said, and didn't declare they're going to win by 100 or whatever. But you know, he's feeling good because he's feeling as close as he's been to 100% in a long time. And he wants to be so much a part of this thing coming up. It's crazy, right?
Also, it's Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
He's the best receiver.
He's allowed to do this.
Yes.
He's allowed to do this. Because last year, didn't we have comments where he addressed Notre Dame's kind of process leading up to the game about man-to-man coverage?
Mm-hmm.
When Notre Dame on their side of things was like, hey, we're not backing down. You know what I mean? We're doing what we do.
Yeah.
This is who we are. And Jeremiah's like, okay, we'll see. So, yeah, I like that a guy like this, to your point, that is good, can go out there and back up his words with action and actions from the past. Have at it. Say what you want.
What was the play that put the game away against Notre Dame?
Third and 11.
Third and 11. Man to man defense.
Third and Jeremiah.
Yeah, third and Jeremiah now.
Yeah,
but no, it was, you know, I mean, Julian Sayin was his typical Julian Sayin today in the press conference.
Yeah.
Doesn't really say a whole lot, and that's okay. That's totally the opposite of Will Howard. We could ask Will Howard two questions a day, and he'd probably still be talking, right?
Which was amazing.
Yeah. And but, you know, for example, the Carson Hinsman in the offensive line, I mean, that, I don't know about you, Adam, but that is the big question going into this game is what lesson, even though they won't really tell you, it's all about execution, right? That's the word, et cetera. But what lesson did they learn against that Indiana defensive front? I mean, clearly, Miami plays differently, but Miami's going to emulate a lot of what Indiana did just to see if Ohio State did learn this lesson, right?
Well, I think it's interesting. If this was a bet out there on a sports book, it would be minus 10,000. If the bet was Ohio State to win the line of scrimmage on offense and Ohio State to win the game, it would be minus 10,000. I mean, if Ohio State finds a way to handle Miami's defensive line, this is a no-show.
Yeah.
It is a no-contest football game down in Dallas. That is it. That is the whole shebang. It's the whole ball game. Figure out how to stop their line, and you win the football game.
How about Ryan Day throwing it out there? It's not Ohio State's receivers against their DBs. It's Ohio State's receivers against their pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting comment. I mean,
and that falls on the running backs too. I mean, you got to lean on Bo Jackson to get in there. You got to have Jams people get gritty. You got to, you know, gritty like the dance, like gritty,
yes,
you know.
Yes, and last year you had Travion and Quinchon, two guys that were, especially Travion, very good.
Yeah.
Vicious.
At pass protection and sticking his head in there and delivering a blow. And so, yeah, I love that you guys are locking in because that'll be fun with Bain and those guys up front just to see what this offensive line can do and how they can get off the mat. And it was similar conversations about Ohio State's offensive line last year towards the end of the year with Donovan Jackson
game?
Having to slide over to tackle and all of that, and so they got to recalibrate and get back in the lab.
Bottom line is they got owned at different times in that game by Michigan last year. The offensive line did by the defensive front, and the same thing against Indiana. So yeah, they've got a little chip on their shoulder.
Do you guys think that this team is? Are they wired differently than last year's as far as their ability to lock back in? Like last year's team was special. You mentioned Will and all the veterans. You guys feel like this team is wired in a similar way?
I think this team is wired in a different way that they are comparatively in the college football playoff better than last year's team. So it's not locking back in or finding a new level. Without a doubt, if Ohio State finds a way to play to their potential over the next month, they will raise a national championship in Miami. So with this team, it's not about, guys, we got to have that grudge. Guys, we got to lock back in. It's, guys, we got to go play football like we know how to play football. And if we do that for three games, we're going to be the first back-to-back national championship team in Ohio State history.
Absolutely. The bottom line is, they, like you said, Adam hit the nail on the head a minute ago, but the offensive line has got to have its act together in this game because Miami's really, really difference is going to be up front defensively. If they can handle that, Ohio State knows it's got the best receiver tandem in college football in Jeremiah Smith
quarterback
and Carnell Tate.
Too.
But you got to have that second and a half, 2 seconds to basically be able to pull that gun and fire it. And so that's what Julian Sayin is looking forward to, I think, a little bit less harried of a pocket. But without a doubt, defensively, I mean, Boy, if they can make Carson Beck have to beat him, you know.
It's not where Miami wants to be.
No, no,
it's not where they want to be.
No, Mark Fletcher, well, he had a couple of three runs in that fourth quarter on that when they needed it the most, and they got a touchdown drive when they needed it the most. I'm talking about Miami. But this defense has been so good at getting better as the game goes on. And so that's really going to be an interesting matchup, but in a strange kind of way.
Couple more comments from Miami fans under this tweet. Buddy took the easy way out and sold out his hometown, not listening to a thing he says. Keontae Scott got something for him. Boy literally thinks he's from Ohio. And so, yeah, man, it's getting real. Cornball under this thing. Like
I might just DM that tweet to Jeremiah Smith, say, read the replies and buckle up because you need motivation for this game. This is people from his hometown.
We're going to blank
him. He ain't reading your DMs.
He follows me.
Oh.
What?
Hey, gong. Yeah. Fire the gong.
Where are we You can't help where you're from, but you can always help where you end up.
Last one, Adam King. We're going to blank his little ass up.
See?
Oh, my
goodness. Read it. Let's ride.
It's getting real. AK, appreciate you stopping by, man. Appreciate you as always. We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
The meatloaf!
The Fan.
Men, it's the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Common Man has hosted shows with radio royalty, Spielman, Tor, T-Bone, just to name a few. So listen to his new show with Timmy Hall. If man can pull this one off, he's a miracle worker. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up and Tell the Truth today?
All right, first of all, Matty Ice.
Yes.
Can you describe who Ray Goff is?
Ray Goff. No, I do not know who Ray Goff is. I know who Jared Goff is, but I don't know who Ray Goff is. Should I know? What do I need to know?
Georgia.
Georgia what? Educate him. Educate
Georgia,
the
former Georgia head coach. I think he was their head coach when, if I remember correctly, when they played Ohio State in the 1992 Citrus Bowl.
Okay.
Am I right about that?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well done. Now,
one of those many Georgia coaches that after Vince Dooley didn't get the job done.
Can you name who was the head coach in between Ray Goff and Mark Richt?
In between Ray Goff and Mark Richt.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I could, but I got to sit here and think about it.
Jim Donnan,
yeah.
Don't know who that is.
Well, he was a head coach at Georgia in between Ray Goff and Mark Richt. But they went through, like I said, they went through a few coaches before they finally found
Kirby.
Kirby.
Going home, yeah.
And say what you want to about Kirby, but, man, two in a row. You can't argue with two in a row and could have been, what, 3 out of 4 or whatever it was.
Think about some of those assistants Saban had at Bama, too, right before they branched off. And just some of those old pictures they'll show sometimes of those games of those guys roaming the sideline with Saban. I mean, just
it's like he had 30 assistant coaches at one point.
Star-studded cast, man, for sure, down there in Bama. A little history lesson, TLC. I like that. I like it.
All right, take a stand. Are you rooting for Rothman or CB in tonight's fantasy football semifinal?
Okay, so this is what it's come down to, folks. I lost yesterday in the semifinal. My season is officially done. Took some swings with Diggs and Henry. It's too late after that. However, between our former producer CB and our guy AR, the scoreboard reads at the moment AR's up 105 to CB's 98. And CB tonight has George Kittle and Jonathan Taylor going. AR can't do anything. His team is done. All he can do is sit back and watch. I don't really know who I'm rooting for.
I'm going to root for AR just because.
because these are both my guys. These are both my guys here. And so who are you rooting for, I guess? I'm going to flip it on you.
CB.
You're rooting.
See? Birds of a feather.
Why?
Stick together.
Why?
Because we have the same initials.
Okay.
That's not why.
Why?
It's because Anthony Rothman is going to flip out if he loses in fantasy, and that'll be way more entertaining.
That would be. You're exactly right. I'm flipping my vote.
You weren't here when CB picked up. I can't remember.
Yeah,
which,
I was.
Were you here? When we had Ian Harditz on?
Yeah.
AO was not happy about that. He was not happy about that. On Thursday. Yeah, that was
Thursday.
He cooled
down afterwards, but mid-interview, he's in my ear, like, talking to me. He's like, dude, that's such a weak move. I can't believe he just did that.
And then by the end of the segment, CB ended up dropping the guy. He felt bad. But, yeah, AR has been knocking on the door of a fantasy championship for some years now and always felt like team is just built for the regular season. And so if CB comes back to haunt him and run him down tonight, we call AR tonight just to check on him. That's for sure, because he'll be in a bad, bad place. But it'll be entertaining to watch, and should be a good game on Monday Night Football between the Colts and the Niners.
Where do you keep your money?
Personal information. Thank you very much. Here is Dan Orlovsky and Dominique Foxworth talking about overrated NFL teams. Or I should say disappointing NFL teams.
I think this is the most disappointing team in the NFL this season.
Baltimore.
And when you're that, something will have to change.
Like, look at this right here. We alluded to this in the highlights.
This is
the
wild.
Final 12:50.
Yeah,
your closer's on the bench.
But one of the problems is this is far too often a common occurrence where we sit there and go, like, how come Derrick Henry's not getting the ball more? This team, unequivocally, was the most talented roster in the AFC and the, rightfully so, the AFC Super Bowl pick. And I don't understand that they've dealt with some injuries. A lot of people.
I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. I'm just shocked at we just breezed by the past that you said something will have to change.
Something will have to change.
What the hell does that mean?
It's so the NFL. We know.
This team is very disappointing. And I think they got put out of their misery last night, and their fans got put out of their misery last night, because all year long they're like, well, what if? Now we know that it's not going to happen.
That's a truth.
Yeah, it's hard for me.
Are we still doing truth or false?
No, absolutely. I completely agree with
that.
I mean,
when you sit there and you see Derrick Henry in his what do you call it, the cover?
A big puffy jacket,
whatever. Yeah, a big puffy jacket. And see Lamar got hit in the back. And dude, I'm telling you that. I mean, I don't know this by experience, but I guarantee you that hurt, man. That's like a boxer who always is hitting you in the kidneys and stuff, and then he comes upstairs, you know? But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, you're looking at that and you're going, what's their record? What are they doing here at the end of this game? Yeah. Who are these New England Patriots? Oh, yeah, they used to rule the roost. Now it's time for the Ravens to rule the roost, pardon the pun. And, there's got to be some frustration there on the part of the Ravens fans, especially with the close-ups of the guys who aren't in the game.
It's hard for me to disagree with anything Dan Orlovsky said. You mentioned Lamar. Shefty reported today it's a serious contusion to his back, and he is now considered day-to-day. So they got a matchup this Saturday against the Packers. We may not see either starting quarterback in that one. Jordan Love left with a concussion over the weekend early on in that game, too. And so, yeah, it's the Derrick Henry on the sideline thing. It's the stuff that's been attached to Harbaugh as far as the leads that they lose late in games. When they're talking fourth quarter leads, you're up by 10, up by 7.
Look it
up. That's been a thing over the last few years.
And Google him.
I won't be surprised if what Dan Orlovsky is alluding to happens, is that they decide to say, hey, it's been a good run. We appreciate you, Harbaugh, but we need to get some new blood in here. I think there's some people that cover the team that think maybe Lamar kind of wants that behind the scenes, too.
Hey, what if they did do that, and what if Michigan still hadn't made up its mind or found the guy?
Bring John on back?
That would be very interesting.
Tough spot, though, isn't it? Following your brother there?
Yes.
Tough spot. I mean, I LOL'd this morning.
It was National Sangria Day a couple of days ago. Are you a wine guy? You like the vino?
I'm not really a wine guy. Like, if I'm going to a nice dinner or something, I won't mind having a glass of wine, but I'm not seeking out wine if I'm out watching games with the guys or going to a party or whatever. I'm not the biggest wine guy. I don't have beef with wine, Tim May. Maybe I need to really dig in on the wine and see what I like. But, yeah, I'm not really a big wine guy.
I've got a buddy of mine that drinks expensive wine. I basically almost don't even drink anymore, but I just said, man, after the second glass, I guarantee you couldn't tell the difference between expensive and cheap, you know. I don't know, you gets all up. Yeah, probably. I don't mind a little glass of wine every now and then, but I don't get the whole hoity-toity part of why
I gotcha.
Is
no,
the
I gotcha.
Part I don't I've never liked.
Smug.
There yeah, smug. The there you go. Elitist.
Tell the truth for that. Tim May, appreciate you filling in.
Yes, sir.
Last couple shows, TLC, good to see you again. We'll be back tomorrow at high noon. We got a 1 hour show for you guys tomorrow. We will get you ready for obviously the college football playoff stuff, but we'll go into Buckeye basketball as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Happy holidays, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.